Oh shit. Welcome back to the motherfucking podcast, motherfuckers. This is your one and only host, Stony Motherfucking Baloney. Alright. So this episode of the podcast happened during my celebration of my birthday. Had some family and friends over, and my brother-in-law, Adam, wanted to do a podcast with my good friend, Colin. So, we decided to come in here and do a podcast for you guys called What If? And the what if is, what if Russia invaded the U.S.? That is the what if question of the day, of this episode. But that's what Adam wanted to talk about, so that's what we talked about during this episode, and I think it was a good conversation between these two men, and I found it to be riveting. Enjoy.
Dude, he looks like every villain from every movie, dude.
He is a bomb villain.
Yeah.
I don't think Russia could attack the United States right now, even if they wanted to.
Russia is the only country that has the ability to attack us overseas from their country to our country.
Yeah.
The only country so I'm concerned about is China.
Well, really. China.
Yeah, but if Russia attacks us, China's right after.
So China did test their hypersonic missiles. You guys. They did test.
China does? Oh, yeah.
They have hypersonic missiles now. Not necessarily saying that they're operational, but they did test them. And they're the only country to do so. So, really, China would be the one to worry about. Russia, yes, they could attack us, but they're
Are we recording?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to invade. Logistically, they just can't, right?
Right.
Like, they're going to... Where are they going to invade? Alaska. Like, that's the only place they can invade.
Aside from Alaska, honestly, bro, if they were going to start pushing in on us, it would be...
through Canada.
I think it would be...
Mexico?
No, California? Man. No. Florida? I think they're going to attack the most liberal part of our country they can first, because they know they're going to get the least resistance there, because there's not as many gun-toting assholes.
Logistically...
And honestly, dude, Seattle is ideal.
No fucking way.
You don't think so?
No way, dude.
Well, okay.
There's no way. You're telling. Okay, so let's.
It's. I agree with you, but however, I want to hear it.
I'm saying it is a target. I will say there is asset. So this is a big port here. So you'd want to get that. So there is a reason.
We have one of the World Trade Centers here in Seattle.
There is a reason for it to happen. Sure.
And Seattle is super liberal.
Right.
There is a very low percentage of gun-carrying citizens.
In Washington?
In Seattle.
Oh, sure.
And, Washington collectively. This side of the west side of the mountains, yes. Yes, we have a low percentage of gun-carrying Americans.
You wouldn't even make it through the fucking San Juan Islands, man. And I don't think anybody. I don't even think China would make it to San Juan. There's no way. You're telling me they'd make it past Whidbey Island, which isn't the most north naval base that. Whidbey Island.
our military would be on
so
them like
when
shit
I say when I say an invasion, I don't mean like they're just gonna pull up in boats and try to come in through the sound.
Sure.
No, dude, they're gonna bomb them. They're gonna send fucking missiles first to those locations that you were just talking about, and they're going to try to eliminate as much of surface area that they know about that has the higher population of gun-owning Americans. And once they wipe those out, then they're coming into the fucking shores and coming in Seattle. And there is so many fucking liberal, weak-minded, bleeding-heart fucking pussies that they're just going to throw their fucking hands up. Yeah. They're going to throw their hands up, and they're going to follow fucking orders.
Sure. I agree that if any large force, went to Seattle in force and took it over, mm-hmm. with guns or whatever, they would probably fold.
But they dropped bombs first on these points where, like, literally where you were just talking about.
There's no logistical reason to hold Seattle. There's no reason.
I don't think they're going to try to hold Seattle. I think that's where they would start the invasion. I think they'll pass through Seattle with very little.
How do you? What do you think their play of action would be, if anything?
If you're going to invade.
Yeah.
Well, I think the key to like a successful invasion would be.
I would have gone.
You have to have boats coming in, so you got to keep the shipping lane. Like that's just
very vital.
Because if you don't keep that in, then your invasion would fall. They would die. I don't care if you send 500,000 people over. It would just. It would. It, they would. You, if you got nothing coming
what's
in.
What's China's navy
fucked.
Like?
You're fucked. I don't know.
China doesn't.
But the point is unless you hold something like that, and like you got to have a runway. So somewhere where you can have a port and a runway.
Mm.
I don't think Seattle is a good spot for it. Logistically, there's
because it's too deep. It's inland.
It is way too deep inland. Way too deep. And there's nothing. There's
I think
nothing
that's actually what plays a huge key in their ability to attack us that way because we have very few places that are deep enough waters for.
So Port Angeles is the deepest port, I think, on the West Coast. I think it's actually in the United States.
Yeah, but we got a port in North Everett and we got a port in Seattle.
Right, so you would
that are big enough to accommodate aircraft carriers.
Right, so you would take Everett over.
So that's where you have to invade as a foreign country because you need waters deep enough to accommodate your warships.
If it was me, I would be more worried about Bellingham.
Yeah, because they're not very well defended. They have a big
airport up there.
Also, Whidbey Island.
I think that
would be the ideal place to attack.
You don't want to take over an already established base.
No. I'm just saying that.
But you take over a civilian airport. That's not hard. Not hard at all. And like you were saying, it's a very liberal town. Do I think they'd keep it? No fucking way. We have the second biggest Bradley base in the United States, right over the mountains. they're not going to keep it. They're not going to keep it. If anybody invades, even in force, they could take, you know, the best bet is they would have to take, like, Forks, that area, and they would have to fucking...
The peninsula?
They'd have to.
You think they'd take down the peninsula
they'd
first?
You would have to, because you'd have to come in inland... As well
okay.
as through.
Okay, and it's
because,
not as populated, well, so they can set up basically. Okay.
If you're coming through that canal, you're getting shot. Let's just say that's the only way you come in. You're getting shot from both sides of the shore, from not just people, like civilians, but also tanks, Bradleys. Those motherfuckers are fast. It takes 2-3 hours to get a Bradley over here from Yakima.
Mm hmm.
We have hundreds of them over there. There's no way. Not to mention, I'm not even saying Abrams or other equipment. Like you're not talking about any other equipment. Just Bradleys.
Yeah.
Fucking sinking ships, bro.
But I also don't want you to assume that I'm implying that the attack is only going to consist of naval ships.
No,
they're going to come through the air as well. You
would have air and stuff.
Super sophisticated radar systems now.
Sure.
So you're right. We would detect the air attacks coming in when they're like 1,000 miles away,
well,
probably. Mm.
They would have to come in like force. And you're right. The West Coast in general would be a fucking disaster. Island would probably be gone.
I mean, if anything,
they most of the bases would be
troops.
Gone. But
mm-hmm.
the thing, I don't really even see them taking the state. Like we have,
I can't see them getting past the
like
hills.
People. Oh, so I think being liberal is like a privilege, right? Like, you have enough time to worry. You don't have time. You have enough time in your life to worry about other people's bullshit. Right?
I don't think liberalism is really a privilege. I think it's a display of complacency. I guess that boils down to a privilege, because you got to be privileged to be complacent.
I'm just saying, like, you have so much time and you have so much extra shit going on in your life that you're able to spare bandwidth and thought process for other people, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. Empathy is good. But being able to, I don't know, it's got such a bad connotation now. That
I'm not liberal.
Right, but to be a liberal now, it's almost like you're like, oh, you're a snowflake, or you're this, or that.
I think you're steep in...
But you can be a liberal. You can still be a liberal and be like a gun-owning citizen and like be pro 2A and...
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of that here. For as liberal as the state is, I think there's a lot of...
Yeah, I think what would suck for a liberal gun owner is... I think they would probably be that person that their house gets broken into and they get killed with their gun in their hand. Because they just want to give so many chances. So many chances.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I just know what I will do at the end of the day.
You think you know what I mean? That's all of us.
I believe I know what I'll do at the end of the day.
I believe at the end of the day, if you were breaking into my house, I might be a fucking Facebook fucking sensation. Or a YouTube sensation, just like this most recent thing that went on in Florida, where a dude, you haven't seen no videos for that?
Right.
Where a dude was trying to, like, shoulder check the door to his ex-girlfriend's house that he dated, like, I think it was like 7 years prior.
Mm. No.
And he came over there just all drunk and wanted to, you know, and, so the chick lived with her mom and dad. She's in her early 20s, you know. Mom and dad are like late 50s, early 60s, something like that. And they live in Florida. So in the video, because they got they had the Ring cam.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing was caught on video. This dude like knocking on the door and they just stayed quiet. Nobody answered. They were trying to pretend like nobody's home. Maybe he'll just leave. And then... he starts trying to shoulder check it to break it down, and then, you know, the girl's dad, he's like, hey, called him out by his name because they all knew him. He's like, hey, you need to leave, you need to stop, I have a gun. And it got to the point where he literally like busted their door jam through. And once that door swung open, they kicked it shut. And you fucking blah, blah, blah. 3 shots. Through the door.
You killed him?
Uh-huh. Died in the driveway.
Give him plenty of time. Yeah, warning.
Dude, as far as I'm concerned, if I've warned you and said I have a gun, and you still proceed, I don't need to talk to you anymore after that.
Yeah.
The next thing that
you're
going
to hear...
Because
you don't know what their intentions are.
If you don't fucking stop... Dude, if my fucking door jam breaks because you're trying to bust through it, that's it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I hope I don't kill you, but if I do, so be it. I prefer that you live with the wound and remember it for the rest of your life. And hopefully you don't make that mistake again.
I like the floor top. Said,
the sheriff?
The guy that break in, he said, kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
They won't reoffend.
Right? They won't. They can't reoffend if they're dead.
Maybe that's heartless and, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's...
No, dude. I agree with you 100% there. I agree with him 100% there. And I agree that if I was that person making that bad fucking decision...
You gotta make a heartless decision sometimes.
It's not heartless.
Well,
that is not a heartless decision.
Well, no,
I love my family so much.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that heartless.
But you could make you. I guess you could make an argument of not to kill. I just.
I mean, you could just like.
I've never been that desperate, man.
Right, me neither.
I've never been that desperate. Like,
do the whole
if you imagine,
Eastern.
Could you imagine being that?
Take a finger.
Like you.
No. The Middle Eastern thing. If you got caught stealing, they'd take a finger.
Yeah. You need what?
Could you imagine?
I mean, if he did the same thing for breaking and entering.
Not being able to make it work. Your job falls through.
It's
you
pretty much
a job.
They're trying to steal by breaking
in.
Economy's
not letting you. Your kids are hungry.
It's still going to be theft in the end.
You do anything if you do
are
kids.
Are you not going to steal?
But if they're trying to kill you, that's a different story.
But if you get...
What happens when begging doesn't work?
But if you get shot for breaking into a legal gun owner's house and...
I couldn't blame the guy, but like, could you blame the guy stealing? At that point? No. I couldn't, as somebody who would, you know, take that dude's life, I couldn't try to put yourself in that dude's shoes. I'm not saying that's where he was. I'm just saying that's where I think I would have to be in that man's shoes. And if I was in that man's shoes.
What, the guy breaking in the.
Yeah, if I was in that
man's
shoes.
But he wasn't a homeless dude. It wasn't nothing like that. He was an ex-boyfriend.
But
it happens,
drunk. It happens every day, right? Where breaking and enterings happen and people get shot and die.
Yeah, he wasn't desperate for nothing but attention. He wanted that girl.
I just mean in general.
Fair enough.
If you're desperate enough to break into somebody's home and steal their shit, and then you get fucked up over it, I'm not saying like that. You get with like obviously that's bad, but I can't. Like I understand both situations, right? Okay.
Well, in that particular situation, what I would say, and this is just my opinion, but when you play stupid fucking games, you win stupid fucking prizes.
Sometimes life doesn't work out for people, man. Sometimes they can't get jobs. Sometimes you're just on a bad beat. Get a job and get laid off. Can't fucking keep a job for that fuck up. Sometimes it's just a bad beat, man. Bad economy for whatever reason. No work, no money, no nothing. Always poor, always in debt because of mistakes. Can't ever get ahead. Leads to desperation.
Well,
right?
I've been in plenty of situations where I had a hard time finding a job. Sometimes it took two, three weeks to get it. And but regardless of the amount of time, the time in between, I went and did fucking day labor, dude. I went to labor rate.
Right, but that's...
I went and did it on the up and up.
What about a guy who's been doing that for years? It changed your mentality. You go from being like a person to almost like an animal.
Well, if you've been doing that for years, you need to really actually self-evaluate and maybe gain some carnal knowledge of yourself.
Are we not all creatures of habit?
Well, then if you let that become a habit, then whose fault is that?
I don't know.
The person who lets it become a habit. And that comes back to complacency. If you've become complacent with day labor, and you've made that what is suitable to get you by from day to day, that's not society. Society didn't make that decision for you. You decided that.
So?
You became complacent with that. You've set that minimal standard for yourself. I don't know really,
I
mean...
We don't know what's all out there. You don't know what you know, what's more apt is you don't know what you don't know. Right? So all we know is everything we've ever grown up around and been around, and like the sprinkler fitting thing. I would not be a sprinkler fitter right now. I met my wife's dad, and he did it, and he gave me the opportunity to apply. Otherwise, I would not be a sprinkler fitter. I wouldn't, right?
Man.
And I had no idea. I just had no idea. I don't know what I don't know. Mm. My life has changed because of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm not, and I was a painter before, so am I destined to be I was good at it. I did my job. I was complacent. I was poor. I was very poor. I lived paycheck to paycheck for a very long time. And it sucked. But I can't put fault on a guy like I was because that's how I was raised. Like you do a job, you go to work, you do a job, you get paid, and eventually somebody sees that and you do enough hard work and like it works
finally
out.
Get that recognition, yeah.
Right? Well, how long does it take? And then you're hoping other people take what, pity on you?
No.
Or fucking you earn they you have to earn your you have to earn your you have to earn your stripes by their definition?
Well, I think if you're the best at doing what the job description
implies
specifies, then yeah.
I think when we were painters, I think I was a fucking at the time I thought I was the best painter, and I still think that. At the time, with the crew that we had on the crew, I was the fucking guy. I was the man. I thought I was the hardest working guy. Didn't get paid like it. Didn't get treated like it.
No.
And ultimately, it didn't matter. All for people who don't give a fuck.
Right.
They don't care if I, you know, make it or break it. They don't care about my, like, oh, I want to make a garden. Right?
Yeah, so it's like, at this point, it's like, why blow up over it?
Right. No, right. And yeah. I just, desperation makes, like, there's people that are evil, right? And we can all agree that, like, evil acts make man righteous.
Oil pocket?
Make you righteous. Then no. You fucking
low beast.
Oh, I can kill a guy, right?
Right.
A fucking evil guy broke into my house and was fucking attacking me and my baby. I gut that motherfucker, right?
Right.
Well, the guy breaking in trying to feed his family doesn't want to hurt you. You don't know that? Your reaction's still the same. That motherfucker is evil.
Fucking ain't right.
Because he's trying to take what you got. I just say I could see both sides.
The shit that I got is from the shit that I got is from my family. So like, where do you create that fine line between?
So you got white privilege?
No my God!
I'm just fucking with you. I'm sorry. I'm just fucking with you.
You got me. Okay.
That's what they say that shit is, though. That's what they say white privilege is.
What's amazing. That?
Well, that's what I... This way it was explained to me is that I have white privilege because of what I was handed down.
And well, I was handed down shit.
Neither was I.
I've earned everything else to square off my back.
I owned and I bought everything that I have.
I got handed down debt, bro.
Hell yeah.
When I first turned 18 years old, I called Verizon and tried to connect a landline in my house. And I gave them my name, my birthday, my social security number. Right. And it came back Adam Norsby, a.k.a. John Steinbaugh, which was my fucking stepdad's name. So before I even turned 18, bro, I had debt with Verizon.
Right.
I had debt with the cable company.
I'm getting high.
You should open that.
I'm leaving. So I have to work tomorrow.
Alright, bro.
I'm just gonna go outside. I was sitting here and I'm like thinking about it and I'm like, oh fuck. Not that I don't want to look at those spare fingers. Look at them fuckers.
Alright, bro.
Sorry guys.
No, you're good. Hey. Welcome to the podcast.
Maybe it was too. Did I say too much? Was it me?
No, he was fine.
Okay.
No, he didn't mean anything. He was just trying to be funny. But
yeah, man, I didn't get really handed anything aside from debt when I turned 18.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I had debt for shit that I had never...
Yeah, it sucks.
You know what I mean? I had the phone company, the cable company, fucking, you know.
He is using your shit.
I had to literally have the phone company and the cable company send me affidavits that I had to fill out to press charges against him. My little sister's dad to clear me of so back then when I was 18 the phone bill was like $200 right?
Yeah.
But that was almost 22 years ago.
That was a lot of money.
$200 then compared to $200 now, I mean,
well, yeah, it doesn't seem like
most
much.
People. Yeah. Most people, that's part of their daily pay.
Yeah,
$200.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But this was unbeknownst to me. I had no fucking clue, dude. No idea that I already had bills in my name. Until I turned 18, I had my own apartment, and I called the phone company to try to set up a landline.
Right? A landline.
I know what a landline is. Well, I'm not that fucking
this
young.
Was. This
I know,
was,
but.
So
right.
This was back in the day, though. You gotta remember, this was back in the day where cell phones existed, but you, if you had one,
it was
you had
a huge
money.
Draw.
Mm-hmm. If you had one, you had money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, the large populace still had a landline.
Yeah.
So I call up the phone company, and then I had it was in the jungle. I just turned 18 years old. I got my own apartment in the jungle behind the Evermall.
Yep.
And so that's when I gave them my name, I gave them my birthday and my social security number. And they're like, oh, okay, so this is Adam Norsby, a.k.a. John Steinbach, which is my mom's previous ex-husband. Not the one that passed away, but the one before him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, what? I was like, no, literally, this is my, like, how do you guys not, realize right off the bat that with that birth date, 1982... I am just now old enough to have a fucking account.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't remember exactly what they said to justify it, because they knew they were in the fucking wrong, because how do you accept that? But I had to have them send me an affidavit to fill out to press charges against my little sister's dad.
Yeah.
For falsifying information and, I don't remember what it's called, but it was actually a felony.
Oh, shit.
Identity theft. It was identity theft.
Yeah, it would be identity theft.
Yeah, because it's your
but he got away with it. He got away with it for so long because him and my mom used my name and my brother's name for so long. Before they actually, it's hard to explain, man, because, you know, I'm a little bit older, and when I was like a kid, the stuff that exists now, as far as systems to keep track of information,
mm-hmm.
you know, through computers and things like that,
yeah,
it didn't exist like that when I was a kid. You had paper receipts that were handwritten.
Yeah, everything was in a file cabinet, right?
Yeah. This is back when credit cards, you didn't slide them into a machine. You put them in this little fucking track thing and put a carbon paper over the top of it and you fucking... And then you hoped that once you turned that receipt in, that they actually had the funds on their credit card to cover it.
I saw that on Home Alone, too.
That's real.
Yeah.
That was real.
Yeah.
There was not a scanning system for credit cards.
Yeah, you remember when we walked
that's why
into
back
the
in the day, if you had a credit card, just like a cell phone, you were rich.
Hmm.
You had money in the bank backing it. Because there wasn't like the credit tracking system back then the way that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The way that they issued credit back then is you gave them your bank account information and let them look at your balance. So if you had a credit card, you literally were a rich person talking on your cell phone.
Hmm.
That was like this fucking big.
Right.
And then the rubber antenna that came off of it was like this fucking big.
Right.
I mean, we can talk about the evolution of that and we can talk about NFTs too.
What's an NFT? Honestly, I still don't know what that... What is that an acronym for? What is NFT? What does NFT mean? It's an acronym, right?
It is, but I forget what it actually means. But basically, it's cryptocurrency going into
an image.
Yeah. You have to purchase to sell your image. So you have to spend cryptocurrency to get your image out there.
To, like, essentially license it under you.
Yeah. And then...
Trademark it.
Yeah, and then you sell it. And you can do, like, how many pieces you want to do. Like, all right, I want to do this piece for, like, 1,000. So you would have 1,000 items of that same image.
Yeah.
And then you can distribute each item for a price.
Mm.
So, it's, I don't know. It feels like a freaking scheme.
Sounds about as solid as Dogecoin.
That's what?
Pretty much.
I don't even know about cryptocurrency, but I know Dogecoin rose fast and dropped fast. And
yeah,
there's really not much about it now.
Cryptocurrency has been around for a while. And NFTs is fairly new. But the issue I have with it is, as the artist towards that, you're not getting the price for whoever resells your image. You don't get, like, a commission for that or nothing.
Not to mention the people that just copy and paste your image.
I mean,
like, you're...
There are copyrights.
Your image might become somebody's fucking cover photo for free, because
the price of it is based on how many views it gets, too. So if everyone is doing all that, you're holding the original code. So you hold the blueprint. But it can be copied, like you said.
For free.
But I think there are copyright licensing that prevent that. Like, people will get fined with that. So I'm not fully sure on this.
Yeah.
But
sounds right to me. Fuck, I don't fucking know.
It's
way out of my realm of knowledge. Not a fucking clue.
Yeah.
So
I barely grasp it. I
all I know is that
right now there's this what is it called?
NFT.
There's an NFT.
It's like
a monkey.
Okay. It's a non-fickle or something. NFT. Non-fickle. Yeah. So it doesn't change, or like it stays the same.
I've always thought fickle is like way susceptible to minor changes.
Yes.
Like plants that are fickle, if you slightly alter the watering process or the light process.
It's non-fickle something. Transactions.
So should you go join the party?
Yeah, we should probably.
Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Good casting.
Yep. Enjoyed this riveting episode of Smoke Sesh with your host Tony Bologna and guest stars Adam and Callan. Callan Colin. Adam and Colin. That's funny. Interesting topic. Not how I expected the conversation to go, but nonetheless, that's how it went. Oh, and my cousin Ben was in this episode. My bad. It's just the main two guys that were talking were my buddy and my brother-in-law. But basically, there was four of us in this episode. So, once again,
Woo. I'm going to sign out, and I hope you enjoyed this riveting episode.